You are now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show on Giant 90.9 from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports, hosted by Landon Nelson, Olin Pulley, and Trey Hanna. Good morning, race fans, and welcome to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson. I'm again joined by my co-host, the legendary Olin Pulley. Say hi, Olin.
Hello, everybody.
And the biggest Purdue fan I know, Garrett Burkle.
Boiler up, what's good?
As he's wearing is that IU Crimson I see?
No, it's just a Nike hoodie.
No, it's just Nike red?
Yeah. Mm. I think Indiana is Adidas anyway, so.
Yeah, they are. They are Adidas. Is Purdue?
No, Purdue's Nike.
Oh, but Nike is better than Adidas, but I do like Adidas when it's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Purdue. But yeah. Like Indiana. My bad. But anyway, this is a racing show. Landon, take it away.
Last but not least, the one and only Trey Hanna. What up, DJ Trey?
What up, buddy? Oh, crap. I have the thing again. How you doing?
Turn off the mic.
And fellow NASCAR fan and Jeff Gordon fan, the one and only play-by-play sensation, Maxwell Gilly. Say hi, Max.
Hi, Max.
That was good. That was really good. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to dive into your NASCAR news. Rick Ware Racing will be forming a technical alliance with RFK Racing for the 2023 NASCAR Cup Series season. Part of the agreement between Rick Ware Racing and RFK Racing is Rick Ware Racing will lease a space on RFK Racing's campus in Concord, North Carolina, in an effort to form a symbiotic relationship between the teams. This is what RFK Racing's president, Steve Newmark, said on the alliance between the two teams. At its core, it's a technical alliance with probably a twist, said RFK Racing's Steve Newmark. Getting on our campus will have even closer interaction just because of the proximity and the fact that Rick Ware Racing president Robbie Benton and Jeremy Thompson, RFK Racing competition director, and folks will be talking. So it's a good alliance between Rick Ware Racing and Roush Fenway Kislowski Racing. Rick Ware Racing was going to have an alliance with Stuart Haas Racing. I guess that just didn't happen. I don't know. There was news that was going to happen. But, Max, what are your thoughts on that alliance?
I think this is going to be a good thing specifically for Rick Ware. I mean, RFK, I don't really see anything changing for them. One of the things I think this could do is this could get the possibility of potentially having a new guy eventually make it to RFK, similar when we look at when the Cole Custer situation happened, how he has to go to Xfinity. They get the new guy in at Stuart Haas Racing, which was based because he was primarily with Rick Ware Racing a year ago. So it's not going to change a lot. It's not going to be like all of a sudden RFK is going to be this huge team we got to watch out for every week, but good for Rick Ware. He's clearly learned that when he was doing in 2020 was awful, and just having four cars that were not competitive at all, he realized that he needs to be in a technical alliance with someone, and his guys have been doing a little bit better. Just if you can get rid of Cody, your team will actually be competitive, but you know that's not going to happen.
That's his son, Cody Ware, son of team owner Rick Ware. Do you think that alliance with, you know, would you have rather went with Stuart Haas with the technical alliance or Roush Fenway Kislowski Racing if you're Rick Ware? What are your thoughts on them not choosing to go with Stuart Haas Racing?
I'm thinking that it may actually, you'd think that it would be better to do with Stuart Haas Racing, but as we've seen the last few years, they really have been struggling. I know they had a better year last year, but RFK, you don't have a lot of expectations with RFK that you do when you have Tony Stewart-led Stuart Haas Racing. So I think that it is a better decision to be going with RFK. You may even help you get some better sponsorship too, but just overall, it's just fine. It's not going to be changing a lot.
With that, Max, the next-gen car proved to have 19 different winners, the most in any NASCAR Cup Series season. So, I mean, if Rick Ware Racing could, you know, have a good alliance with, you know, RFK Racing, maybe, you know, they could be contending. I wouldn't say they're going to be contending for wins next year, but, I mean, definitely maybe in the next coming years with this next-gen car. And how, I mean, we had 19 different winners last year. That's incredible.
You just need to be getting more than just the top 20.
Yeah.
Try getting top 15, top 10.
Yeah.
If you can somehow do that, that would be good.
Yeah, agreed. With that, eventually could be contending for wins in the near future. But moving on with your IndyCar news, the one and only Garrett Burkle. Take it away, Garrett.
Well, I would like to say there's been a lot this offseason, but there really hasn't been. Obviously, I've been over it before, but the whole Pillow McLaren situation thing kind of fell under. They ended up going to court. And Alex will drive for them again in the 2023 upcoming season. So that happened. That was months ago, though. That was announced. So again, you still could. So next year you will see. Pillow in a McLaren car, I believe, in IndyCar or even Formula One if that happens. I'd say more IndyCar. But other than that, I mean, again, not a whole lot. Santino Ferrucci went to AJ Foyt. Obviously, McLaren brings back probably the strongest 500 program we've seen in a while, probably since Ganassi last year, in my opinion, where you bring last year's second, third, fourth, and fifth place finishers. And obviously, Pato O'Ward, Tony Kanaan, Felix Rosenquist, and Alex Rossi. You bring all those guys into your team, so they should have a very good setup for the 500. And they're my pick. One of those four, I believe, will get to victory lane in Indianapolis this year. Yeah, other than that, again, just not a whole lot coming on the IndyCar side. I wish there was. Yes, oh, that's right. Steph Wilson announced that he will be driving for Dryden Rimble Racing in the 23 car next year for the 500. That car has been very competitive in the past. You've had you had Santino drive it last year to 10th place. He was in top five most of the race. So he had a very good run last year. And Sage Karam always does pretty well at the 500. He finished 7th place in 2021. So, again, Dryden Rimble Racing brings a pretty good, pretty solid lineup to the 500 every year. They put all their time and effort into those two cars for May. So it's a good opportunity for Steph Wilson to, maybe do something this year for the 500. So, again, yeah, good for him. And, let's see what he does with it.
Thank you, Garrett, for that IndyCar news. Now we're going to turn it over to Owen Pulley. We have a lot of Formula One news to talk about today on today's episode. So turn it over with Owen Pulley.
Yeah, so in the Formula One news, the season's over. Max Verstappen. Sorry. Wins the Drivers' Championship. Wins the Drivers' Championship. And Red Bull takes home. Sorry, we're having some technical difficulties.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a 30-second break. This is All Gas No Brakes on Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety.
That's on me.
This conversation could save the life of a loved one.
Dad, so sorry.
Come here. Are you okay?
No.
You've seemed pretty down lately. Have you been thinking about taking your life?
Today, teens are at increased risk for experiencing anxiety and depression, and finding mental health support has become even more challenging. Get help at mylifeisworthliving.org/help and check out our YouTube channel for the first animated series about teen mental health.
So sorry about those technical difficulties there. We had an issue here in WBDG, but I think we're good. We're here. But anyway, the F1 season is over. Max Verstappen wins the Drivers' Championship. Red Bull wins the Constructors' Championship with a third-place finish by Sergio Perez, with Leclerc in second place. But we do have some changes, and we're going to start off with the track layout. There's a certain track in Jeddah, the Saudi Arabian track. It's for the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. And Going through it, I'm just going to read this little article here that was posted on motorsport.com, a little snippet of it. At turn 14, the wall on the right-hand side of the track has been pushed back by 7.5 meters, while the left-hand wall at turn 20 has been moved back by 5 meters. The walls have also been pushed back at turns 8 and 10 in order to improve visibility. Beveled curbs have also been added at turns 4, 8, 10, 11, 17, and 23. It's a very long track, a lot of turns. There, I believe, 29, while new rumble lines have been placed at turns 3, 14, 19, 20, and 21 to deter drivers from running wide and slow them down. So it's just improving safety, improving silence. It's a very narrow track, but it's a wavy track. It's not really a turning track. It's a wavy track. It's a bunch of straightaways with little waves in it that are hard to see around.
Yeah, very. It's a very that Saudi Arabia is a very, you know, high speed track, very quick, long straightaways type of track. So yeah.
So another news that we do have is Mattia Binotto, who is was the team principal at Ferrari, started 28 years ago. He was an engineer, moved up, and you're giving me a thumbs down. What is that, wrong or say not good?
No, I'm like. Him being the Ferrari team principal, he didn't do the greatest job. You know, Ferrari had a decent car this year. They looked to be better than Red Bull at one point. And, you know, strategy issues, and so he's the team principal. He is the boss of that team. Like, he, with the crew, with the drivers, like, he didn't do the best. In my opinion, he didn't do the best managing, in my opinion, and with, you know, managing the team and, you know, strategy, stuff like that. With Benito Binotto, being not the team principal at Ferrari no more, I'm kind of like, as a Ferrari fan, I'm kind of like, let's go. So
yeah, I was excited as a Ferrari fan as well.
Yeah.
But he did have a little snippet to say. This also is from motorsport.com. I'm leaving this company that I love, which I have been part of for 28 years, with the serenity that comes from the conviction that I have made every effort to achieve the objective set. I leave a united and growing team, a strong team, ready, I'm sure, to achieve the highest goals to which I wish all the best for the future. I think it is the right decision, or right to take this step at the time, and it is a hard decision that has been for me. I would like to thank all the people at the Gestione Sportiva, I think, which is where, you know, where Ferrari is and everything like that, who have shared this journey with me, made up of difficulties, but also of great satisfaction. So he enjoyed his time, but it's time to go, and I'm kind of glad he's leaving.
Max, what are your thoughts on that?
They just really struggled this year. They did not look competitive at all. It was time. Now, do I think that all of a sudden they should be the title contenders? No, I don't. I think Mercedes is going to look better next year as well. I think Ferrari's just going to really fall back to third. I don't see McLaren being competitive at all. I remember for a couple years ago, McLaren was like the third best team to watch out for, but that's long gone. They have looked awful. They haven't been competitive at all.
Well, what do you think that Red Bull's going to do with the cost cap?
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. With the cost cap, I think Mercedes next year is going to be the team to beat next year. I know, Red Bull built a fantastic car. It was fantastic on the straightaways. I mean, it had more speed than the Ferrari on straightaways. 10 miles per hour more speed on the straightaways compared to any other car. And it was 10 miles per hour faster than a Ferrari. They were having a qualifying session, and they're in the race. They were having when Verstappen passed Leclerc at Miami, it was the commentators were like, yeah, that the Red Bull car is 10 miles per hour faster than any other car on in F1 on the straightaway. So I feel like Mercedes is going to rise up, because I mean, Mercedes this year did not have the best car. They struggled at the beginning, but as things progressed towards the later end of the year, they were looking fantastically strong. George Russell wins at Brazil. I was so happy, because I'm a Mercedes fan. I'm a Lewis Hamilton fan. I'm a George Russell fan. I'm a Mercedes fan in general. I was so happy to see that happen, because, Lewis struggled a lot. George, did better. I think he outscored him in the championship. I think it was the fourth Fourth in the championship. Yeah. Either fourth in the championship.
What?
George Russell this year.
George Russell was fourth with 275 points.
And then Lewis was fifth.
Lewis was sixth with 240.
Six? Who was fifth?
Carlos Sainz, 246.
Wow. Okay. So that's where I'm at on that. I mean, Russell outscored Hamilton this year, and he outperformed him with this, you know, newer car. I think the car was a lot better. I guess it felt better to Russell. I mean, it, you know, he seemed to gel with it better than Hamilton. Then Hamilton started, you know, get his results. But I feel like that Mercedes next year is going to be the team to beat. They're going to build a fantastic car. They're going to be tending for a championship. And I feel like Lewis is going to win his eighth title in the next 3 to 4 years. I'm calling it right now. He might win it next year. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. It's a little, you know, hot take there. So
I mean, Las Vegas is always going to be like a new chapter for everyone because it's a new track, but like it's going to be difficult for all of the drivers.
Yeah, thanks Trey for that. Boys, what are your thoughts on what I just said?
Yeah, I think that Lewis has a chance to win the Drivers' Championship. I think that if he gets there, I think it's going to be like that. But going to what Trey was saying about Las Vegas, I think that it's going to be a cool track, bringing back Qatar after a while there, a record 24 GPs. That's the most in F1 history. I think that that's going to be huge. And I'm glad that the United States is taking more races. Three races here. We got Miami, we got Austin at COTA, and the Las Vegas Grand Prix on the Strip. I'm not a big fan of the track. I'm really not. I do like the Strip going down there at 200 miles an hour. I like that, but it's just like four little turns. If you turn it on the side, it looks like a pig.
Every time I just look at Vegas, I keep trying to ask the question, is this going to be good racing or is it going to be a spectacle?
And to be fair, Miami was not good racing either.
And I'm starting to feel like it's going to be similar to Miami in that regard, where it was more of a spectacle than an actual competitive race.
Agreed.
But hey, I'm just happy we get to have it here. It's shown the American audience loves F1.
Oh, yeah.
North America loves F1.
100%.
We've seen that just with the success, social media, Netflix show, everything. It's just been really interesting to see. So I'm excited to see what they can do.
Yeah, Formula One, Drive to Survive, played a huge part in popularity for, you know, North America. It's pretty popular now, and that was a large part in why it is, was the Drive to Survive series.
It also helps for the simple fact that when you watch the telecast, it's straight. There's no commercials whatsoever. There's no interruptions, and everyone gets so mad at NASCAR and IndyCar with having too many ads or whatnot. And then with F1, it's just straight sponsored, which means there's no ads. And I think that truly, not enough people talk about how much of a role that happens when we have so little attention spans. To have a race in like 90 minutes with no interruptions for television, it's a gold mine.
Agreed, buddy. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Owen, what else do you have for us today, buddy?
I did have some news, some potential candidates for F1's Ferrari team to get a new team principal, as with the leaving of Binotto at Ferrari. But some big names there. Frederic Vasseur, the team principal at Alfa Romeo currently, but he does have a little history with Charles Leclerc, as they did work together in Leclerc's first season when he was with Alfa Romeo, branded as Sauber at the time. Another name is Andreas Seidel, the team principal at McLaren. We could see a different one there. McLaren kind of struggling. It was really Lando Norris that year. Daniel Ricciardo, as much as I love him, just underperformed completely.
Yeah.
Ross Brawn is another opportunity, a chance there, and I think everybody likes that one. He's the managing director for Formula One, and he's helped deliver 8 Constructors' Championships as well as 8 Drivers' Championships to other teams. And his career began back in the 80s. So we could see that. Or Benedetto Vigna, the CEO of Ferrari. And another name that I think could be a possibility, I don't know if you agree with me on this, Landon, is Gunther Steiner, Haas's team principal. Could we see that? I like him a lot. But
he could bring a lot of potential to that. To Ferrari, like he could bring more, like, yeah.
I really like the Ross Brawn. I really like that as a potential candidate for Binotto, the new for our team principal. I really do like that. I love, you know, Ross Brawn, what he did, Brawn GP. I mean, it was Honda, and then Honda was gone, or it was Toyota or Honda. It was one of those two. Toyota or Honda had a team, and then they, you know, closed up shop, and then here comes Brawn GP with Rubens Barrichello and, oh, goodness, I'm trying to think. Jenson Button, and he won a world title with Brawn GP, and, you know, I would have loved to see Brawn GP compete for a few more years. But I, you know, what?
And those are the great cars. I think I could be mixing it up with Sauber, but isn't it the one with the white with like the neon?
Yeah,
Brawn
GP. Yeah.
Great livery. I love that livery.
It was Ross Brawn. He also worked with Michael Schumacher at Ferrari as well. So
he's got a little history with
Ferrari. He's got his history with Ferrari. I like, if you could bring Ross Brawn back, then I don't know if he's going to really leave his spot. What is director of F1 or something?
Director of F1.
Yeah, I don't know if he'd leave. I don't know if he'd leave that spot of being.
Why
director.
Would he leave that spot to
know.
Go to a Ferrari team where sick. You have so many expectations?
That wouldn't be worth it.
You have
honestly.
1 year, truly, and if you fail this year, you're going to have to be going again because it's a toxic fan base.
Yeah, I do like. Who was the McLaren candidate?
Oh, I just had it. Let me look through that. While you're going, I'll look through that.
Yeah, I like the Freddie Valser. He is the team principal at Alfa Romeo. There's this thing with Red Bull. They think
Andreas Seidel.
Okay, yeah. Andreas Seidel's really good. He was the he would be great fit. He worked with a lot of Lando loves him, Daniel loves him. I mean, the whole team seems to really love Andreas Seidel, what he does at McLaren with, you know, strategy, stuff like that. I really do like Valser a lot because he worked with Leclerc. They have a history. I mean, what he did to help Alfa Romeo this year, bringing Valtteri Bottas to race for Alfa Romeo, a race winner, a lot of podiums for sure, did really good work at Mercedes, had some bad luck along the way, brings him in. Also, there's this thing with Freddie Valser that he threw a shot at Christian Horner on like his contract or something. Christian Horner, I think he's getting paid $10 million as an F1 manager.
That's a lot.
It was something like that. And then they also talked about how Alfa Romeo is going to get an extra pay boost from finishing sixth in the constructors as well. So there's some news with that. But yeah, and Günther Steiner, I don't think he's going to leave Haas. I love Günther Steiner. He is a character. He brings energy to. I mean, if you watched him in F1 Driver Survive, hilarious. That guy's hilarious. Also, if you go on Stuart Haas Racing on Instagram, him and Tony Stewart have like a couple bits. It's so funny. I think he's not going to leave Haas because that he's been there for so long. He has a relationship with Gene Haas. He convinced Gene Haas to make a Formula One team. So why would you leave? So that's my thoughts. What's everyone else's thoughts?
I like it. I think that I would like to see him go to Ferrari. I don't think he will, but yeah, he's got that. He's tied down with Haas there. But while I'm thinking about it, I think that we should go through the 2023 driver lineup real quick. We can go over that. And
hey, before you
that.
Go over that, Owen, I got some stuff I want to say.
What's up?
How do you boys feel about Porsche coming to F1?
Oh, yeah, that is true. Porsche, I really like that Porsche. And I know that Porsche and Audi, I know Audi's for sure is and Porsche is in the making of trying to come to Formula One. I really like that two German manufacturer teams. You got to get Sebastian Vettel. I mean, the drive for it. I know he just retired, but, I mean, Lewis Hamilton said, you know, 100%. he'll be back. So I him and Mick Schumacher at the same team and two, you know, German drivers driving for a German manufacturer. You cannot beat that. It's like with Alpine where you have Pierre Gasly and Esteban Ocon.
Well, they're not going to get anything done with Mick Schumacher because he's terrible. I'm just going to flat out say it. Mick Schumacher's not good.
Not good?
So you don't think it was just based on the poor equipment? You really think it's just
no, it's based
not.
On his last name.
Come on.
It's based on his last name.
That's welcome to racing.
That is true. Welcome.
That is true. How do you think anyone else gets in the racing? You have to. It's always by last name and who you know.
That is true. But he's not very good, in my opinion, there. That's why he doesn't have a seat next year.
I'd bring Sebastian Vettel back. I'd love to see it. Him race for Porsche or Audi, German manufacturer. That'd be so sick just for him to come back.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. But Max Verstappen and Sergio Perez going back to Red Bull, obviously. Leclerc, Sainz running it back at Ferrari. Hamilton and Russell at Mercedes. And Bottas and Zhou Guanyu at Alfa Romeo. And those are the only teams staying the exact same. Those four teams there. But moving on to the teams
hey,
that are...
Hey, speaking of Alfa Romeo, actually, have you seen the pictures of their new facility? Like, yeah,
no.
They haven't... Aston Martin is building a new game-changer.
That's Aston
buddy,
Martin.
Two different teams, buddy. Alfa Romeo and Aston
I'm
Martin.
Sorry, I get
you're,
those confused.
You're okay,
the two A's.
You're okay, buddy.
But Alfa Romeo... I can't talk today. Aston Martin in their new game-changing facility... I'm looking at pictures right now. It looks gigantic compared to, like, any facility I've ever seen. It looks gigantic.
Well,
thank you for
that. Interesting to see if it can... You mean you can spend all the money on that stuff, but you have to be able to perform, and I still...
And you
got
to be able to, like, actually freaking win.
Thank you for that, DJ Trey.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
So, Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri teaming up at McLaren. Piastri coming up from F2. I thought that, I mean, we kind of all knew that that was going to happen. We didn't know exactly where he was going to go, and then we found out McLaren, and that makes a lot of sense. Pierre Gasly and Esteban Ocon at the French team, the Frenchman racing for the French team, which
that's
I think
awesome.
Is pretty cool.
That's sick. I have huge expectations for Alpine with bringing Pierre Gasly, a race winner. I feel like he honestly, I mean, he didn't do great at Red Bull, and is, you know, when he got called up, he had, you know, issues and, you know, poor, you know, results and qualifying. But when he went back to, you know, Toro Rosso, things started to click. Then AlphaTauri, you know, they rebranded. Fantastic results. He's done fantastic in equipment that, you know, he's put that equipment in positions it shouldn't even be in.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, Pierre Gasly is going to do fantastic Alpine.
And when he had his Red Bull seat, he was pretty good.
Yeah. And with Esteban Ocon, I feel like he's going to do great as well. And they're going to bring Alpine back to contending for wins and podiums in the next few years.
Yeah, speaking of AlphaTauri, Nyck de Vries, the F2 champion of last year, teaming up with Yuki Tsunoda at AlphaTauri because of the Pierre Gasly move to Alpine. Kevin Magnussen, and Nico Hülkenberg racing together.
Hülkenberg
racing
so
together at Haas. Fernando Alonso and Lance Stroll racing at Aston Martin. We're going to talk about Aston Martin in a second. And rounding it off, Alex Albon and Logan Sargeant.
Yes!
The first full-time American driver
I'm
since
so
like
happy.
The 80s.
That's awesome. Yeah, with Roger Penske. Roger Penske's team was the last time they had a full-time American driver was with Roger Penske's Formula One team. That's awesome. I'm so pumped. I hope Logan Sargeant does well. I mean, I'd love to see him, you know, contending for wins and championships later in his career. I just think it's cool that we have an American driver racing in Formula One. It's been forever. It just makes me proud.
Yeah,
so.
I'm excited for it. But moving back to Aston Martin, like we were talking about, Lance Stroll, do you think that he could be good this year? He had 75 points in 2020. We talked about this. 75 points in 2020 with two podiums with Racing Point. They moved over to Aston Martin, rebranded as Aston Martin. Now they're Racing Point, like BWT is all with Alpine.
Yeah.
But still, technically, Racing Point became Aston Martin. Now, Aston Martin 2021 was not very good.
No.
Aston Martin 22 was not very good.
No.
Sebastian Vettel made a terrible car a decent car.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? And Stroll, I'm not saying that Stroll is Sebastian Vettel. Nobody will ever be Sebastian Vettel. But do you think this year with the cost cap and everything like that, Trey was talking about their new facility being really big and everything like that. Do you think that Lawrence Stroll is going to build up this team with Fernando Alonso, or do you think that Lance Stroll is gonna take it down? You know what I mean?
I think the biggest thing when I look at this team, I don't really expect them to still be contenders. Fernando Alonso, he's just been okay, frankly. Now, I know he's not contending for wins, and that's what I'm really looking at. But I think with Lance Stroll, they'll just be fine. I don't expect them to have just some astronomical change where they're going to be major contenders now. I don't see that happening.
Here's my point of view on this, my input. I feel like in the next, it's going to be 4 to 5 years that Aston Martin will be contending for podiums and wins. I'm going to call it now. If, you know, what they did in 2020, okay, they made a pink Mercedes, practically, it was a pink Mercedes, and they were contending for podiums and fourth to fifth place finishes, and they won a race with Sergio Perez at was it Secure? Secure Grand Prix? Yeah, Secure Grand Prix.
In Bahrain.
In Bahrain, yeah. He won a race. So
yeah, it was the opening race of the year he got the win.
Yeah, opening race. I thought it was one of the later races.
Maybe I'm thinking. No,
that's Bart. Secure's a later race, and that was the race that George Russell raced.
It is the first race now.
Yeah, it's the first race now.
But yeah, my bad. My apologies.
You're good. But yeah, he won late in the year at Secure 2020. Came back from last to win. I feel like with the new facilities and the changes they are making, Aston Martin and bringing in Fernando Alonso.
It was actually real quick. Yesterday, it was 2 years to the day, November 29th, 2020. He got his first win. Or no, hold on. That's not right. It wasn't the Bahrain Grand Prix. Hamilton won the Bahrain Grand Prix.
Yeah, it was Secure.
Sorry, he got the podium. Hey, my bad. I misheard it.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. It's just I feel like, you know, Aston Martin's going to be contending, is going to be contending for podiums and wins the next years with this new facility. And I just, you know, with Lawrence Stroll, hopefully he, you know, what he did in 2020 can, you know, he can replicate that into 2023 with these new facilities. And the cost cap with Red Bull, they're going to be contending soon. That's my take. Owen, anyone else?
Yeah, I was a little confused. Okay. Now I get it. Now I realize. I just read the difference between the Secure and the Bahrain Grand Prix. There's a difference. But anyway, you were listening to All Gas No Brakes on WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. Your station for variety, All Gas No Brakes. We have fun here.
Yeah, fun here.
I do like the F1. I'm excited for the F1 season next year, March 3rd through 5th. The actual race will be on Sunday, March 5th at Bahrain. I'm excited for that one.
What are you guys, Owen, what were your thoughts on the Aston Martin? What are your thoughts? Do you think they're going to be contending in the next 4 to 5 years?
I think that they could. I think there's an opportunity. I'm not 100% sure if they can, but I think that, I mean, teams just come and go. I mean, look at Williams from a couple of years ago, or not a couple of years ago, but like a couple decades ago. They were really good. They were like, they're a legendary team, you know what I mean? But they were really good and a really dominant team, but now they're just at the bottom of the pack. Like, they're literally the worst team on the grid right now. Things come and go. I think that Ferrari was a mid-pack team a couple years ago with Sebastian Vettel when he first got there. But now I think that they're one of those teams that can compete for the top of the grid. So I think that with time, they'll get better.
Agreed. What about that Esteban Ocon and Fernando Alonso news that we talked about yesterday? What were your thoughts on that?
You know, I think that Esteban Ocon, in my grand old opinion that probably nobody cares about, Esteban Ocon is not a very good driver, my opinion. I think that he's got the chance to, but he just makes kind of dumb decisions. He doesn't really leave a space 100% of the time. I think that there's times where he needs to get out of the way and he hasn't, or the times where he's got to move and takes it but sends it too far. I think that with Alonso, you get an experienced driver like Alonso. I think that there's going to be turmoil, and I think that there's going to be issues there. And I mean, we saw how mad Gasly got when there was that tractor on Suzuka. I mean, where he almost died, honestly. But I think that I think there's going to be some turmoil with Ocon and Gasly, and I think that that could possibly lead to not re-signing contracts with Ocon when his contract is up.
I mean, there's no point to keep him if you're just going to have that much turmoil year after year. I've been wondering this about Fernando Alonso now. What's left for him in F1? He's already won the titles, but
that was decades ago. Yeah, that was decades, yeah.
Does he still need to still be a part of it? He's not contending anymore.
I guess feel the thrill and the rush of racing a Formula One car. He likes, I mean, he's a ton of history here in Formula One. He's done a lot. I guess he does contribute to teams. His leadership, his experience, I feel like it's for, you know, the thrill and the fun of it. I think he still talked about he wants to win championships eventually, but I mean, we'll have to see and wait a few more years. But Alonso's getting up there in age,
that's,
though.
That's the biggest thing, so I've been wondering.
I mean, is he going to be with Aston Martin for 5 to 6 years, or is he only going to be there for 2 to 3, which he could retire soon? I mean, that's the thing with signing Alonso. That's where I'm at on that.
That's been the biggest thing I've been wondering is just, do you know if he's even going to be here next year? Do you know? Because he's not going to be here for that much longer, you would think. And I could say that, and I could be, this could be freezing cold takes, and he could still be here much longer, and he could even be a contender. But right now, from what I've seen from him, he just doesn't really bring, other than, I guess, leadership, a lot.
This is what, you know, things that happened between Ocon and Alonso. This were some comments made at the Brazilian Grand Prix. At the, you know, at the Brazilian Grand Prix, he and Ocon collided during the sprint race and blamed each other. So when asked if he needed to smooth things over with Ocon, Alonso said, "No, not really. I don't need. It's one more race, then it's finally over.
Yeah.
It's over finally." Ocon was frustrated in how Alonso handled the situation and hinted that it will be faster for the team that he is driving elsewhere next year. There's a lot of you know, disrespect going on through there between Alonso and Ocon. Speaking to French press ahead of the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, Ocon said, "Of course, I was disappointed by his comments were made in the press and not internally. We did not have any discussions about any of that. I will keep the respect I have for him." And he also said this: "It's good that he's going to Aston Martin and that we are going our own way. Honestly, the work was 98% on my back and 2% on his. I was overworked. I did all the development on the simulator and the marketing trips." What are your guys' thoughts on those comments from Ocon and Alonso?
He outscored Alonso by 11 points on the season. He finished 8th with Fernando Alonso's 9th. I think that with all the developmental, he's going to be better. So I think, honestly, Ocon has more room to talk because he's got more points on the season.
That's right. You're exactly right. You finish higher, you get to talk. But it is a bit frustrating. I'm never a big fan of them airing out their grievances in the public. I just always see that as just disrespectful. And it's really a bad look for both of them.
Flat out unprofessional.
Agreed. Bad look on Alpine, too.
It's just, we don't need to know this. We don't need to be hearing any of this. Just frustrating and disappointing. And like you guys said, just bad look everywhere. But, I do think he does have more room to talk. Just like you said, you finish higher, you get to talk.
So I have some news on the factory. So I'm going to come touch back on that. The three buildings that will make up the factory. So they're based at Silverstone. That's where Aston Martin is based. With building three, the wind tunnel at the far left, and set to finish in 2024. They're talking about how it could be one of the best wind tunnels in Formula One. So this is what ESPN, ESPN cover. I was all reading on ESPN for the Ocon news and Alonso news. So this is what I'm trying to think. So, of course, the new factory is not going to change the team's competitiveness from one day to the next. Aston Martin started the 2022 season at the back of the grid and only managed to recover to 7th in the standings by the end of the year, tied on points with Alfa Romeo in 6th. So although the performance of the car tracked in the right direction over the course of the year, it was still a long way from Stroll's lofty ambitions of fighting for titles. Realistically, that goal is not going to be achieved for several seasons, and not before the new wind tunnel is set up and running in 2024. So this is what I'm trying to figure out. This is what Follows says. So Follows, I think the target for the wind tunnel is to be online in the middle of 2024. So we're hoping that we will have at least some contribution. Jeez Louise, for the AMR 25, the 2025 car. Follows says, "I think depending on how the commissioning and things go, that will be the first car where we'll be able to have a significant impact with the new tunnel. In terms of the factory that coming online next year, we're hoping the car prior to that will see the benefit of a new factory as well." So what are you guys' thoughts on the wind tunnel and Aston Martin's, you know, factory, stuff like that?
I mean, you should be better with that when you're spending all that money, but it goes back to results. You can't be saying, "We're going to do this, we're going to do that," because you don't know. We're going to have to wait and see when they finally have it complete and when we are in that 2025 season. And then we'll know.
Boys, do you guys have anything else to close out today's episode?
I think I do want to talk on that one more time. I think that it's all a matter of time if we're going to see or not. I think that right now that it could be the best in F1, but at the same time, too, it could be the worst. You never know. I think only time will tell.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we have for today. Hope everyone listening and at Indianapolis has a fantastic day. And don't forget to tune in to All Gas, No Breaks every Wednesday from 8:30 a.m. to 9:15 a.m. For Owen Pulley, Maxwell Gailey, Trey Hanna, and Garrett Burkle, I'm Landon Nelson. We'll see you guys in the next episode. Goodbye. And remember, this is Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety.